De retour avec Joël Bouchard. Première question, Herb Zurkowski. Herb, you're up.
Merci, Charles. Hey, Joel. How are
Hey,
you?
good. How you doing?
Good, thanks. It looks like you need to get a little more sleep at night.
We're doing good. We're lucky.
Listen, it's very early. Here's the end of a four-game segment. You're coming back off of a loss. Belleville, as you stated earlier, is a very good team. They finished first last season. How important for the psyche of this team is it to come out of this series with three wins in four games?
Well, I look at a two segment. I'm not going to lie to her. Like, I look at the first weekend, which we played our A team, and we had the guys that were there with us last year. We talked about that. So you look at this Friday game and the Saturday game. Those were guys that were more experienced that I've worked with, that we were in that stretch together for the most part, and a couple of young guys, like I told you, that feel that we're ready. Now, you move into the week, this week, total different ballgame, total different team. You know, we have a lot of young guys. That's now that week's getting into them, and we throw in a few more young guys, and we'll throw a few more tomorrow. So it's two different things. Like, as a coach right now, like I said yesterday, I'm not a coach, guys. I'm not a coach. I'm a teacher. Mm. I'm a teacher for those guys. And the young player are learning, and I'm glad I can throw them out there. And the veteran are helping. Tomorrow again, there'll be five or six veteran down playing, and they understand that we're flip flopping the lineup. So that was the plan. Now, of course, I want to win, and we're gonna work with win. That'd be good for the young guys to get that win. I don't think last game was terrible, to be honest. It was 1-1 game and a couple of mistakes and getting away from us, but I think we were quite good for the most part of the game. But obviously it's a loss, so it's good for the young guys that we're gonna have again a big role in the game to get that that game back and see what they can do. So this is and then I'll tell you right now, next week, total different ball game. We're looking at a different segment. We're looking at something different there too.
You're also a juggler. Are you happy with how you've managed the roster through these three games so far?
Coach never happy. You know that. But I mean, I try to get lines to, you know, it's hard because I don't know a lot of those guys. So I'm trying to figure out which combination is going to help them. And it's not always easy to, you know, extrapolate or kind of go ahead. Like, you have to kind of see them a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to make sense for the player too, and to be able to roll four line. Like I said, I'm just rolling four lines, playing everybody, giving them opportunity. They haven't played in a year, you know, so I gotta stay with that mindset. But I definitely feel that, like I said yesterday, I'm playing bingo a little bit, where I'm trying to find something. But at the end of the day, it's the style of play, it's our structure. Like I said, I'm kind of surprised the first three games how good we were with our structure. Mm-hmm. So now it's just the fine-tuning and keep going forward with the young guys and the veteran.
Finally, just very quickly, will you commit to a goaltender to us tomorrow, tonight?
Well, just because of COVID, we don't commit the player the day before. It's kind of the protocol we got to do, just because a lot of things could come up. And we have tests at night, so we don't confirm lineup or anything like that. I think you guys understand that. It's not that I'm trying to play mind game with you guys. It's just that we try to be respectful to the process of COVID, which is, you know, as you know, we're getting tested every day and we're taking all the precaution we can, but we got to be smart the way we manage our information.
Would you at all things being equal, if everyone's healthy, would you dare commit to a goaltender today?
I'll tell you why, player or goaltender, and I'll tell you why I don't commit. Because it did happen, and you guys, you know, it stuff happens where if I commit to a player, okay, that means that another player is not playing. And then if a guy, I tell him he's not playing, then why would I say that if I'm not sure 100% of everything? So I don't tell them, even the player don't know. They know the night of the game, like when we send them the schedule after we got all the result. So do you understand the process of why saying something to even the player if something could change around 6-7 o'clock? We don't know. With COVID, like I said, we get tested. It could be, you know, an inclusive or something like that that would made us juggle the lineup. So again, it's 100% protocol. And it's 100% just so the process of what we're doing.
Amy Johnson.
Merci. Good afternoon, Joel.
Hi, Amy.
Couple questions for you. First, there was a video that actually came out recently on the Canadian side with their COVID compliance officer talking about all of the measures that and all the work that they're doing behind the scenes to keep all those protocols that you're talking about going every day. Can you just from a Laval standpoint talk about the work that perhaps your compliance officers are doing there and how much goes into that every day?
Well, it's the exact same thing. We have the same protocol as the Montreal Canadian, and Glenn, our therapist here is in charge, is the officer, is doing honestly an unbelievable job. He is one of the best I've seen at his job. And now you throw that medical, reality in his, and he's handled it perfect. We had seminar with the players and the staff. We have obviously protocol of time at the rink of what we need to do and how we have to behave. And it's very thorough, but you know, Glenn is on top of everything. We have communication at important time for important result. And what you saw from the video from the Habs, it's the exact same thing for us. I mean, we follow the same protocol. Dr. Mulder, obviously, is in charge of the medical, the reality with a staff of doctor. And you guys know how many doctor works with the Hab, and now it triggers our officer and Graham with the Canadian and Glenn with us. Mm-hmm. It's amazing what they do, to be honest. And even we're talking about Glenn and Seb doing a great job. But then you look at Eric and Simon, who are equipment mm-hmm. manager, that has to complain too. You have to understand it triggers down to everybody, to the coaches, yes, but to the staff, the amount of work they have to do that, you know, they had a lot of work. I mean, everybody had been around hockey, know how hard those guys were. And Amy, you know that. You've been around our locker room and know how hard they work and how proud they are. And now had a pandemic on top of it. That's very contagious. So I tip my hat to the staff and everybody. But the player have been really good, to be honest. Like the player, I've understand the reality. Like we don't have to kind of... like it's not a party over here in a way. And I have to say, it's not the same vibe as it is for it. You know what I mean? Like guys have music, but guys are in distance. It's a different mindset. It's a different vibe for sure.
Earlier this morning, speaking with Gustav Olofsson, he had a really very thoughtful response when I asked him about, you know, due to such a different schedule this season. And while they're all, of course, grateful to be playing, it's very unique to start your season with 2 4-game series, almost like a playoff series against two teams. And he talked a bit about the advantages that can provide the players, just even from a strategizing standpoint, from game to game and learning. Can you expand on that from a coaching standpoint?
Well, that's the reality. When you play against a different team every night, or, you know, like in the NHL would do normally, like you can stun team with come something at them with come something different. Meaning that, you know, you play a Tuesday versus a team, then you play a Friday, a Wednesday during like another team, and then a Friday versus another. Like all of a sudden, it's a quick turnaround. You try to do the best you can to pre-scout, but you can get stunned on face-off, on forecheck, on there's no adjustment really, and then you can surprise them. When you play the same team back-and-back or back-to-back or back-to-back, what happened, it becomes like a playoff where it becomes more of a chess game. So if you saw the first 2 games, you know, they made adjustment after to the 3rd game. They sat back a lot. They didn't come wide open like they did the first 2 games because they saw that it wasn't working for them. So they sat back in the neutral zone. Our player got a little impatient. That's what created those turnover on goal. So I know when you guys watch games, and I'm the same thing when I'm at home and I'm a fan. I'm watching it sometimes from a different perspective. But when I sit down and look at it from game to game, you can see the other team adjusting, obviously. It's like the playoff. You know, it's not uncommon to see a team, you know, surprising in the first game, but then by the 4th game, the better team's taking over the series. So it's a little bit like that. The only difference, Amy, is that I'm moving roster and lines and special teams so much that
right.
I have ideas about how I'm going to create something about playoff, but right now we're in training camp. It's called spade a spade. It's what it is.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, Joel. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amy. And last question, Grant McKay. Grant, you're up.
Thank you, Charles. Hi, Joel.
Hey, Grant.
Last game was our first look at number 25, as I like to call him. Looks like, you got to give him the benefit of a doubt there. It's his first North American game, and, maybe looks like he's got to learn the smaller rink a little bit. Showed some nice hands. Looks like perhaps he still has to work on his skating and lower body strength, but I was wondering your impressions on him so far. And I've noticed that you've had a tendency to call him only Arson so far. Is there a reason for that?
It's easier to say, like you said, number 25, but the reality coming to North America is that it's a total different style of play. But the reality of coming from Russia, it's a totally, totally, totally different style of play. So for Finnish, Swedish, in German, European country are similar in some way of North America. Russia is way different. Now, we have a translator, device, which help us. Now, it's good in 2021, I can do that. So we did another video this morning where, I draw sequence with the drawing, but then I can, type in my phone and then have a speaker where the player can understand exactly what I'm saying. So I just get a type on my phone and then I press play and then the speaker, obviously. So that's how we communicate. I'm trying to let him feel a little bit, but it's hard because he's coming, like we said, we couldn't watch him and he's coming from such a different culture. So there's a lot of, and again, I don't like to talk on particular things on player about what do they need to get better, but I don't mind talking about the adjustment they need to do. So for his adjustment, obviously, it's to learn the north and south game and being closer to the play and less turning. And again, we can't really... we have to understand that he's coming from a different mindset, right? He played in the KHL last year. Like I said, I'm not sure how much he played because hard to see games and didn't really stats. So a bit of a project there for us to work with and give him mileage. Like you said, we see a little bit, but the North American game is so collective that, for him, he'll have to, and it was really clear today in the stuff I'm asking him to do as we go forward, right? Is to make sure that, he has those North American basic. So, for two reasons. So he's not vulnerable on the ice as a player. And second thing, so the teammate know what he's doing, because you cannot be unpredictable all the time. Like for a coach, ask Claude, if a player goes on in front of him and he's unpredictable, Claude will say, I can't play him. That the NHL is too fast. Like you can't have a guy that just does. And a little bit with us, the difference is I have to work with him in some way because we're a development league. But he's trying, he's saw a couple things he tries to do. So we have to be patient in some way just because we need him to figure out a little bit of North American hockey.
I was at the rookie tournament in Belleville last year and seen your game so far this year. Harvey Pinar, he 5'9 kid, number 11. Loves to go to the front of the net, battles in the corners in front of the net, very tenacious. I've started calling him LaValliger. Now is there
how
LaValliger?
LaValliger?
LaValliger.
Oh, LaValliger. Okay, I was okay.
Sorry.
That's yeah. Okay.
Do you see? I know. There's a tendency for every 5'9 kid that comes along that competes to compare him to Brendan Gallagher. But do you see some similarities in their game?
You're not the first guy that's mentioned it. He does have that edge that Gallagher has as a hockey player. Gallagher is Gallagher and Harvey Pinard is Harvey Pinard. But I do like that he plays in the inside. I do like that he plays the game the right way. I do like that he approached the game the right way. He understands what's going on. He's a systematic kind of player. He's constant, like his consistency has been good over three games. If he was lucky, he could have 3-4 goals already in the season. He's always around the puck, and he's adjusting well to pro. Now, that being said, it's the first few games, but I'm not surprised. I know the kid since he's 15 years old, and was very happy when we drafted him because I feel he's a guy that, you know, it's a joy to go to the rink. But, you know, we'll let him be, let him play. You know, he's still growing, but, you know, the good news, like I said, about our kids a week ago is I can play them in special team. Ilonen's on the power play. RV Pinard is on the power play. Teasdale's in front of the net on the power play. He's really good in front of the net. I want him to keep that. Now, they all have a different, you know, past 2 years. Ilonen was playing in Europe until a few weeks ago. RV Pinard played last year, junior, didn't play for almost a year, and Teasdale's almost 2 years. And now Arsen's coming from Russia. And Mysak was just a junior player a few months ago and, you know, still just 18, was drafted a few months ago. They all have different. So they'll have the good moment. They have, like, Teasdale was way tougher last Tuesday, and it's okay because he needs to learn. He hasn't played a long time. We talked about it. Said the game got to me. It was like the workload was harder. Now needs to refresh and see what we can do. So they all are going to have a good moment, and it's going to be harder at time. But that's why I'm saying, like, I got to teach them how to grow and manage, but they're not all at the same place right now for all the reason I mentioned.